Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to our Olympic special podcast. We are so absolutely excited to do a podcast on the Winter Olympics with our very own Olympic friend, Paul Kingsman. We love having him on the show. This is the second time he's been on because he is the author of the Distraction Proof Advisor. He is a speaker and executive coach. If you have not hired him to come out and speak for your group this year, make sure you contact Paul because he is an amazing, amazing speaker. And we're going to talk about some of the mindset stuff that he experienced as an Olympian and also what people are expecting or the Olympians are going to be doing now with the Olympics coming down the road. And the super cool thing is he's going to kind of make a nice little pivot and show how that's applicable to you being a financial services professional. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Matt. It's great to be back and enjoy listening to your content. And know a lot of advisors out there are benefiting from it. So it's always fun to do a show with you.
Well, we love having you on. So let's talk about this. So the Olympic Games are approaching. They are like next week-ish, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you view that and how we kind of make that fluid switch between what an Olympian does and what an advisor does.
Sure. Yeah, it's something that I remember vividly from my time, funnily enough, in South Korea, where the Winter Olympics are going to be. Oftentimes people will ask me, you know, do I watch the Olympics? And I've gotten back into watching it, but I really love the Winter Olympics more than anything. And for several reasons that we can jump into. But one of the things with the Winter Olympians is that these people put everything on the line every day, whether it's ice skating, whether it's jumping, when you see the jumps these people are doing, just free flying through the air, whether it's lugeing, you name it, pretty much any event at the Winter Olympics, these people can do serious damage to themselves, even when they're training.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the reasons why I love watching the Winter Olympics, because these athletes, I know Summer Olympians are committed too, but these athletes put it on the line every day. And I think as advisors to start with, we've got to learn from that approach. There's no B game here. And so just like the athletes perform not necessarily perfectly every day, but they're always looking for excellence all the time, advisors need to be doing the same thing as well. So when advisors are having meetings, for instance, they are tuned into that meeting. They're thinking about it the night before. They're seeing it as a fantastic opportunity to actually help people with very, very important information and important approaches that can really set up people's longer-term financial perspectives more thoroughly. So it's taking every opportunity as seriously and as thoroughly as possible. And the Winter Olympians, they do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so from an advisor perspective, it's making the most of every single opportunity. And one of the interesting things that I get advisors to do when I speak to groups is we as advisors can tend to think meetings will just continue to happen. And while that's true, at the end of every year, when you look back over your calendar, there's a finite number. There is a finite number of meetings that you've held as an advisor. And the question that I challenge advisors to answer is, how many were you looking to perform brilliantly in versus how many did you just take for granted? And oftentimes, without us realizing it, we can just fall into the routine. We can just fall into that everyday routine of, oh, we'll have another meeting next week with somebody else, and almost think we can provide a B-game performance. The Winter Olympians can't do that. They're risking life and limb literally every day, not just on race day or not just on performance day, on training days. And so as advisors, we want to be mindful of that as well, that, hey, every opportunity we want to bring out our A game, and for our own, I guess, self-pride and self-worth, know that we've laid down the best performance possible. And when I say performance, you know, obviously I don't mean something shallow and right. just rehearsed, but to where it's just a push button A and spit out anything, but to where we want to take pride in doing the best job that we can.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's interesting because some people might be saying, well, I don't really, you know, the comparison between an Olympian and a financial advisor might seem like a big stretch, but I want to challenge anybody who might be thinking that right now, because the level of responsibility and stress that financial advisors are under on a regular basis, especially with things outside of their control, right, is very, very high. And as Paul, you know, when you were swimming, you know, your race was how many minutes?
2 minutes,
right.
That was the plan.
But everything leading up to those 2 minutes, right, is what happened there. And we do the same thing in the financial services industry. But your main point number two here, right, is making sure that they maintain a level of focus and understanding of the environment surrounding it. And again, what happens in the Olympic Village is a lot of outside of what the athlete's control is, right? And the same thing that happens with financial advisors is a lot of stuff that happens in the market is outside of their control. So what is your comparison there?
Yeah, and great point. That's right. The Olympians don't focus on the surrounding circumstances to the point of distraction. All of them face the same thing. When you go into an Olympic Village, you're going to be sleeping in a different bed. You're going to have different environment conditions, whether the air conditioning might be working, the air conditioning might not be working. You're going to be all facing the same dietary circumstances. And so you have to take, as an athlete, you have to take those things in stride, especially when you can't do anything about them, and especially when everybody's facing the same circumstance. And I saw many athletes get distracted and get concerned about, as you pointed out, the very things they couldn't change, to the point of getting so distracted their performances suffered. And so the athletes take those things in stride. It's not like they just ignore them and say, hey, well, they don't exist. Those things do exist, but the athletes control how much attention they give to them. And when you bring it back to the advisor's space, it's exactly the same thing. I mean, think about how much print was put out regarding the DOL, or for instance, how much talk is there now about fee-based way of billing people is dead based on AUM, or fee-based versus flat fee charging. The robo space is going to redefine how people provide advice, and so much attention and emotion gets channeled towards these things that sometimes advisors who aren't focused on what they need to be doing every day, sometimes their attention slips and it gets distracted and diluted amongst other issues that they can't change anyway. And I mean, when you look at what's happening with the markets now, when you look at what's happening with Washington and globally, yes, the advisors can fret about it, but there's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
And I would argue, as advisors, we're supposed to be setting the example for clients and getting the clients to focus fully on what they can influence, not all the surrounding noise out there.
There are things that they can control, though, and I love your point number three, because this is totally something that athletes can control and advisors can control. So what is that, Paul?
So point number three is successful Olympians hang around positive athletes, not the negative ones. And this is something that you don't see on TV regarding the Olympics, but practically every team will have their negative people on board. Even though they've made the Olympics, they've gone there, they're now in a new surrounding, a new environment. And sometimes, even to take the pressure off themselves, they'll just start with these little negative snips about the fact that they couldn't sleep, about the fact that it's too cold, about the fact that their bed isn't comfortable, all of these little issues. And before you know it, the other team members are listening to them. And I made a point when I was at the Olympics, especially in 1988, of just getting away from the naysayers on the team and really surrounding myself with positive people. And it's the same with advisors. You, especially if you're working in an office with 30 or 40 other advisors, you're going to always hear negative commentary from someone, whether it's about interest rates, whether it's about what the Fed's doing, whether it's about what the government's doing, tariffs, all sorts of different things. You can't buy into that kind of stuff. As legitimate as they might make these issues sound, you've got to remember why you're there and steer clear of those distractions. One of the best things I did, Matt, when I went to training for Morgan Stanley, when I first came over back to the States, I started at Morgan Stanley in 2001. I was in World Trade Center in June, July of 01. We were the second to last class to go through before 9/11. We were the biggest training class that Morgan Stanley had ever had. I think 380 of us at that stage. Four of us decided that once we left there, we would connect with each other every month. And we set up our own teleconference between the four of us. And it wasn't a gripe session. It was an hour-long call where we listened to each other, where we built each other up, where we told each other, and these were other guys all around the country, where we told each other what was working, what we tried and what didn't work, where we critiqued each other for how we were sounding regarding our value statements, all those kinds of things. And the four of us had a really good friendship out of doing that. And so you've got to be intentional about seeking out positive people. And not permitting the, as I said, the negative naysayers, the headline readers and communicators get top billing for your emotional energy and focus. So I'd encourage people out there to find peers similar to themselves. And these days, Matt, it's a lot easier because everybody's got their, well, most companies have their ADV posted on their website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to see, you know, what companies are managing what kind of assets or what people are managing what kind of assets, to reach out to some different people out there across the country, but who are like-sized relative to firms and aspirations, and connect with them. And as a bonus, I'd suggest stretch yourself a little bit and go and look for somebody who's managing a little bit bigger business than you. So, for instance, if you're managing 50 million, find somebody who's at the 65 to 75 million mark. And so you've kind of got them stretching you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful about who you hang around and make sure you're dialing in with positive people out there who are seeing the silver lining in any cloud.
Now, that leads us directly into point number four. A lot of advisors focus on the exception, not the rule, the times that they didn't do a good job versus the times that they did. Now, you have a very good comparison between Olympic athletes and how advisors need to change their mind on that, right?
Absolutely. The successful Olympians always create a positive highlight reel in their mind, and they're continually reinforcing those times where they've performed brilliantly, those times where they've performed flawlessly. Yes, we know it doesn't happen all of the time, but the point is we want it to happen every time. So yes, while we can acknowledge realistically it hasn't happened all of the time, nevertheless, this is how we want it looking going forward. And so the positive athlete, the successful athletes, always have that self-feedback where they're seeing the performances happen flawlessly. I'm not talking about sort of wishful thinking or, you know, just manifest it and it will happen. We all know Olympic medals just don't fall into your lap. Just like building a business from 50 million in AUM to 150 million in AUM doesn't happen just by thinking about it. We've got to go out, lay down the foundations, lay down the steps we're going to take, not get distracted, and commit to doing those steps and taking those opportunities all the time. But you're going to have one type of highlight reel playing in your mind, whether it's positive or negative. And so when I talk with advisors who are very positive in building their business reasonably quickly compared to others, they are chomping at the bit for the next meeting, even if the last meeting didn't quite work out how they wanted. They've recognized what they need to correct. They've recognized what they need to tweak. They're now approaching the next opportunity so positive to make this time happen flawlessly that it's, hey, I've learned from the mistakes. I'm only getting better. The next opportunity can really count. And so it's important to remember we'll have one of two highlight reels going on in our mind. And then, of course, there's a bonus thought for all the advisors listening to this is this. When you see an ice skater in front of millions and millions of people fall on their butt, the rest of the world sees that too. You as an advisor, we as advisors, we can often make a little mistake in a meeting relative to how we wanted to say something, and we said it sort of weaker than we wanted to, but the world isn't watching.
Mm-hmm.
You watch those ice skaters, most of the time they get back up. The world has just seen them fall flat on their backside. They get up, they get locked into the music again, and away they go again.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have bad days, as we all have them, Matt, but it's okay. It's how you get back up and how you keep going.
Huh. Everybody should have a little thing on their in their conference room that just reminds them that the world is not watching. I love that, Paul. That was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you have coming up and in the hopper. So the listeners should know right now that they should be checking you out at paulkingsman.com. And if they haven't purchased the book, The Distraction Proof Advisor, please make sure that you all do that. But so what sort of stuff do you have on the horizon? It's 2018. I know you're a very goal-oriented person. What sort of stuff do you have that we can be looking forward to?
Sure. So I'm busy traveling and speaking to different firms, working on a new talk about the high performance advisor, and also working on a talk very, very specifically about cultivating COI centers of influence.
Nice.
There's a lot of information out there, and sometimes, well, there are just ways to do it more effectively and to get on board with these centers of influence. It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes the headlines to attract people's attention suggest it happens very quickly. Hey, sometimes it might, but most times it takes a while. But I got to tell you, Matt, it's worth it, because when you get a center of influence and you've cultivated them just perfectly, they are worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
So now talking with advisors over the next several months about how to do that more effectively. How to be patient with it, but how to really increase the quality of referrals through looking and working with centers of influence. So that's a new talk that I've just finished off now, and looking forward to rolling that out throughout the year.
Well, hey, man, I think we have the topic for our next podcast.
That would be great.
I think it'd be great to have you back on, and let's talk about centers of influence. We have, as a marketing and branding company, we get asked that question all the time, Paul.
Right.
Matt, how do I get my message out and my brand out in front of the right people? And I'm so glad that you say that it does take time, and it's farming, it's not hunting. It's very important for people to understand that the time that they put into it, there are a lot of advisors, especially when they first get in the industry, they want to hit every accountant, every estate planning attorney, and the estate planning attorneys, they'll take that free lunch, brother. They
right.
totally will. But unless you take them out to lunch that seventh, eighth time, add great value, it just doesn't work. So, man, I'm so excited about that. We'll have to have you back on, here in a month or so or 2 months and make sure that we pick your brain about that.
I would love to do that. And one of the things you just mentioned, Matt, and I'll tell you now, I'm going to use this when I'm speaking, is the analogy of farming, not hunting.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, because literally so many advisors are looking for that magic bullet, and they don't realize, no, it's putting the seed in, it's going to sleep, it's getting up the next day, it's raking, it's getting out the weeds, it's all of those things for months and months sometimes. But when that crop comes through, boy, you can feed a lot of people off a small crop more than you can off just one animal that you shoot.
Yeah.
So I love that analogy of the farming, not hunting.
Perfect.
That's exactly it.
Awesome, man. We Kirk and I talk a lot about farming versus hunting because of from a marketing and branding standpoint. And it's very pervasive throughout. You know, the other thing too, not to get entirely tangential here, but it's you have to give that center of influence what they need, not what you think they need. And so then that really goes along with that farming analogy. Mm. You know, if you're consistently like, I lived in Nebraska for a long time, right? So everybody, you know, corn and soybeans, right? Well, you don't give the same thing to beans as you do corn. But if you're trying to, you know, give the same stuff to beans as you were to corn, you're going to kill the beans. And it's the same thing in a center of influence. Wow, I sounded really country there for a minute, but that's okay. That's okay. All right, man. Closing thoughts about the Winter Olympics. You got anything else you want to share today?
Well, it's fascinating from the political perspective with the North and South Korea situation as of today with the Russian drug situation. And as you can see, plenty of things to distract people. Yeah. But I am just so looking forward to seeing the ice skating, seeing the figures, the luge events. One of the things that the Winter Olympics has done so well, Matt, is that they added events to appeal to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so you've got guys like Shaun White and snowboarding, and they've done a phenomenal job at really making this event appeal now across the age group. So I hope it's a fantastic success. As a Kiwi, there's a small New Zealand team going. As an American, I just hope it's a phenomenal success for the U.S. team and look forward to seeing great Winter Olympics starting next week.
Well, thank you, Paul. And for Paul Kingsman, Kirk Lowe, and all of us here at Top Advisor Marketing, this has been our Olympic special podcast. If you have not subscribed to our podcast yet, which I can't believe if you haven't done that, but if you haven't, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast by clicking the subscribe now button below. So every time we have somebody like Paul on, you will get that push directly to your listening device. All right. I will see all of you on the other side of the mic very soon.